2. Oh, praise God. I think I'm in, I don't forget where I was at here. Hold on a minute. In Matthew, I got my stuff here printed out, but it looks like I have, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to read a few passages of scriptures. I want to speak to you today. And the Lord be my helper to help us all not to be stupid. Amen. If I was going to title this message, I guess I'd say, don't be stupid. Amen. How many's tired of being stupid? Amen. I got one raise your hand and admitted it. I just one.
We talked this week.
Amen. Seen some things in these scriptures that I haven't really ever seen before, and I thought I would kind of share them with you this morning. And I thought Brother John would just really, he started walking all over what I was going to talk to you about. But in Mark chapter 6, Mark chapter 6, verse 34. How many's got it? Say amen. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. How many knows teaching is something that we desperately need today? Preaching is good, but it's not going to settle the issue for you. Matter of fact, sometimes we preach and people leave the church, they don't have no more idea what was said or nothing. They got so excited about the anointing, the presence of God there, and preaching and going so fast and all, that when it's all said and done, nobody knows what was said. Well, that doesn't do me any good. But he said he taught them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." He answered and said unto them, "Give them to eat." And they said unto him, "Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat?" He saith unto them, "Well, how many loaves have you? Go and see." And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. That's not very much, is it? 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. Now, there was about 5,000 men there, not counting women and children. Think about that. Now, the food had not been multiplied. They hadn't bought anything. They got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And Jesus said, "I want you to command them to sit down, and I want you to put them in companies. Put several hundred over there, put a few hundred over there, put a few hundred over here, put a few hundred over there." And I'm sure the disciples are saying, "Man, what in this world is going on here? What is going to happen? Maybe it's going to be like what was in the days, you know, when they was in the wilderness, and God's going to open up heaven, and all of a sudden this manna's going to fall down." Maybe that was in their minds. That would have probably been in my mind if I knew anything about the Bible. And here's the Son of God, and they've seen him do these miracles, and probably they're thinking, you know, any minute now the heaven's going to open up and food's going to fall down. I think they didn't even think about them 5 loaves and 2 fishes, to tell you the truth. Because if I've seen them 5 loaves and 2 fishes, I'm saying maybe, if you had 5,000, just men, of course there's some wives there and some children there, there would probably at least 15,000 people there. 15,000 people, and I'm looking at 5 loaves of bread and a couple of fish. I mean, I'm knowing this ain't going to work. There ain't no way this ain't going to work. God is going to have to open up these heavens, and manna is going to come down. I believe that's what was in their mind. I can't prove that, but I mean, if I was there, that's what I'd be thinking about. And he said, they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave to them to to his disciples to set before them. Now, I know this for a fact. I do believe this, that when Jesus, as he looked up to heaven, he did not look at the situation. He didn't look at the problem. He didn't look at them five loaves of bread or those two fishes. He looked to the provider. Instead of the problem. And how many times you and I are guilty of keeping our eyes on the problem and the trouble, and we don't look to God who is the answer to those problems. We're all guilty of that. So as he looked up to heaven, now how many knows he looked up to heaven, that's what the Bible says, and blessed and broke the loaves and gave to his disciples to set before them. And the two fishes divided he among them all, and they did all eat and were filled. Now, I believe it happened this way. I believe that when Jesus looked up and he broke the bread, he handed it to the disciples. Now, you've got five loaves of bread. You got 12 disciples. You got one Jesus. You got two fishes. And he broke that bread and gave it to them. I believe when they obeyed what Jesus said, go feed them, when he gave to them, it began to multiply. And they turned, now look, them 12 people cannot feed 15,000 people. Now that's impossible. Are you listening to me? Them 12 men could not possibly went out there and gave food to 15,000 people. I'm telling you, it multiplied as it was being given. When they gave it to the first 12 that they encountered, they turned around and gave it. It multiplied. It was always there, more than enough, always there, more than enough, always there, more than enough. And the people were involved in this. The people were involved in this miracle. It wasn't all of a sudden there's, you know, in other words, there's enough bread and fishes laying all over the place for people to eat. He said he broke it and he gave to them. He said, now you go feed them. So as they fed them, this food, I believe, began to multiply. And it can do this with us too. Now listen, it's all about obedience here. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up, well, let me just say this. And the two fishes divided he among them all. Now you divide two fishes up, how many fish you going to have? If you break them in half, you're going to have four. You see what I'm saying? But as this happened, a miracle began to occur. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Now, if you counted women and children, that's going to be about 15,000 or more or a little less, depending on how you looked at it. Now, look at verse 45. No, there's no doubt this was a great miracle. There's no doubt in my mind that the disciples were absolutely astounded. Come on, when they seen this. They're looking at all of these people. Now look, they had seen Jesus do miracles. Man, they ain't never seen nothing like this now. I mean, this is something way out there, you know, where you got all these people all over the place. And they knew they were just five loaves. And they knew they were just two fishes. And everywhere they look, everybody's eating. Everybody's passing this bread and eating this fish, you know. And they're amazed at this. How many's ever been amazed at what God did? How many's ever been in a service and been shocked? Now, I want you to be honest with me, but being shocked at what God did. Oh, yes. I've been there. Yeah. I have been shocked at what God done. I've seen deaf ears open, blinded eyes. I've seen legs grow out. Yeah. I mean, I have seen things that would shock you. Come on, shock you. Yeah. I've had miracles of finances, of miracles, different kind of miracles in my life that absolutely, it just shocked me. I said, I can't believe that God did this. Yeah. It was so amazing. So I believe that the disciples there, they knew that they were just five fishes. They knew that, or two fishes. They knew they were just five loaves. And I believe they were shocked at this. Verse 45, and straightway he constrained his disciples. That word constrained means to compel. It means to, he forced them. He compelled them. He compelled his disciples. He constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethesda. While he sent the people, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. How oftentimes we need to depart into a mountain and pray. Listen, when God's moving, miracles are happening, everything's going good, like Brother John was talking about. Everything's great. You got money to pay your bills. You know, a lot of people forget to pray. In other words, everything's going great. Here Jesus has performed one of the greatest miracles he ever performed. Everybody is happy. Everybody's rejoicing. The power of God's there. But what does he do? He sends the people away. Looks like he'd just go over there with his disciples. Man, let's get on to the other place. Man, I'm ready to go. Well, look what God's done. But look, he didn't do that. He did what? He went to pray. He went to pray. Now, he went into a mountain to pray, and when even was come, that's evening. In other words, evening to me is when the sun's going down. It's kind of getting dark. When evening came, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. Now, they were in the Sea of Galilee. In the Sea of Galilee. I want you to remember this. Now, I've never been there. Sister Glenda's been there, but I understand that the Sea of Galilee is like 2 or 3 miles across. It's not a real big lake, but 2 or 3 miles across. Is that right? Now, listen now. They had left, and it was at evening time, and the Bible says the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing. They were working hard. A lot of labor and roaring. For the wind was contrary to them, and about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea.
Hallelujah.
Now listen. The fourth watch of the night was divided into four watches. You know, you could take 12 hours divided by four. The night was divided into four watches. He came the last watch. The fourth watch of the sea, Jesus come walking on the sea. Now listen, there's a storm there, and the seas was contrary to them. I don't like rowing a rowboat. I've tried that. Me and rowing rowboats do not get along together. But I'm telling you, I believe I could have rowed across that water that quicker than what they was. Here it is almost 10 hours later, and they ain't even got to the other side. And matter of fact, they just in the middle of the sea. So what was going on? There was a storm there. The waves were boisterous. There was probably trouble. I mean, the wind was against them. That's what the Bible said. It was contrary to that. It was against them. Man, they're roaring, and they ain't getting nowhere. How many of you have ever roared and never got nowhere? Well, that's the way it was with them. They wouldn't get nowhere. How many times in my life have I worked and I went and didn't get nowhere? Well, that's the way it was with them. Now the Bible says about the fourth night, at the fourth watch, Jesus come walking on the water to him. Now listen to this. He says this. He cometh unto them walking upon the sea and would have passed them by. And would have passed by them. Would have passed by them. Think about that now. Jesus was not going out there to the boat. He wasn't walking on the sea where they could see him and make a big show of it. He wasn't concerned about them. He done told them, y'all go to the other side. I'm going to go up here and pray and send them people away, and then I'll meet you over there. Jesus walking on the water, walking on the sea, he was going to Bethesda. He was going to the shore. He wasn't going to try to come by the boat or anything. As a matter of fact, the Bible said he would have passed them by. He would have walked right by them had they not cried out. Oh, think about that. My Lord. My Lord. He would have passed them by his own disciples. I wish you'd think about this a minute. How many times have we let the Lord pass us by? When we failed to cry out in our despair, or we failed to pray even when things were going good, how many times have we failed, amen, to get his attention when we should have got his attention? Here, now listen, he is not coming to that boat, even though they're fighting the sea, they're fighting the winds, they're in big trouble. Come on, say big trouble. And one account, I believe it's John, said, they said, don't you, when one time he was in the boat and he was down in the hole and he was asleep, he said, Master, don't you care if we perish? Jesus cares about you. Jesus cares about us. But listen, he's given you a commission in life. He's told you how to live. He's told you what to do. But the word of God is clear to everyone, and he's given us an order. He's given us a mandate from God. You're going to the other side.
Yeah.
But sometimes we need to get his attention. Hallelujah. Sometimes I think God has done all he's going to do for us. He's given us his word. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us his anointing. He's told us what to do. And sometimes I think, God, you've already given us everything we need in this life. What is wrong with us?
Yeah,
he would have passed by them. I still can't get over that. I can't hardly get over it. He would have passed me. You know, for years I thought he was walking on the water and he was just going to come right up to that boat and they were going to see him. I never seen this where he was going to walk right by them. Uh-huh. Right by them he was going to walk. Yeah. Think about it. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer. Hey, it's me. Don't be afraid. It's me. I'm not a ghost. And he went up into them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I know that they were amazed when they seen them, all them 15,000 people probably eating. Come on, brother. From five loaves of bread and two fishes. But now they're not seeing a man walking on the water. Yeah. Walking on the sea. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure. I don't know really how it would be beyond measure. I don't know how I would be, you know, to explain how I'd be so amazed beyond measure. In other words, be like I just couldn't contain myself. Have you ever imagined Jesus doing something? You might have seen him do something. Have you ever imagined him doing something? And be, man, you know, to see him walking, actually seeing Jesus walking on the water. Oh, Lord. And they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. They wondered. I wonder what they wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. And now look at Mark, let's see, Mark 8 a moment. Go to Mark 8 a moment. Mark 8, just a couple of, over, Mark 8 and 1. Now we're going to look at another situation where 4,000 were fed. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto him, I have compassion on the multitude because they have been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers to them come from far. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? Now, why would he ask a question like that? Now, I'm telling you, Jesus done fed almost 15,000 people, so to speak, or more. And here they're saying, how can this be? How are you going to do this? It's like they forgot about it already. And listen. And he says, and he asked them, how many loaves have you? They said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. He took the 7 loaves. Remember before, it was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now we ain't got no fish, but we got bread. 7 loaves of bread. And he gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples and set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes. Now here we go. And he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled. And they took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets. Remember there was 12 before. And they had eaten more. And they that had eaten were about 4,000. And he sent them away. Now look at verse 13. And he left them. Here he's going. He's leaving. Going. He's going to get back in the ship again. This is not the same deal. This is another time. Remember, there were 12 baskets. There were 5,000, not counting men. Here we got 4,000. Here we got 7 baskets. They went off to the sea one time. Here he's going off to the sea again. And he left them and entered into the ship again. Departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than 1 loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, of the leaven of Herod. That means the teaching or the doctrine of the Pharisees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. I mean, you know, he's telling them a spiritual, something very spiritual they need to understand. And they think he's talking about, hey, it's because we forgot that bread. We ain't got no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he says to them, why reason ye because you have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see not? Having ears, hear not? And do ye not remember? When I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? They said unto him, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? They said, 7. And he said to them, how is it that ye do not understand? Now I'm going to tell you, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I am not. I am not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I'm not all that smart. But I believe that I could figure this out. I really do. I believe I could have figured this out. But perhaps I could not have. Something had happened to these disciples. And I believe what had happened to these disciples came from the enemy. See, we forget the element of the enemy. We forget an alternate voice that continually speaks to us every single solitary day and never gives up. I believe that because of this other voice, it had blinded them to what Jesus had just got through doing. Now remember, when the 12 baskets that he picked up that was left over, at that time they got into the ship. That's when Jesus come walking on the water to them. And what did the Bible say? And they were sore amazed beyond measure, and they wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves. And their heart was hardened. Here again, Jesus uses that word, said, had ye your heart yet hardened? You know, I looked up that word hardened. That word means this. I want you to really get this. That word means this. It means literally to render stupid. That's exactly what it means. In the original Greek, that word means to render stupid. Come on. They were rendered, I know it's kind of funny, but it's not funny. They were rendered stupid. I'm going to say it again. They were rendered stupid. Something caused them to be stupid. Something caused them to hear the miracle working man of God was right there in their midst. He's feeding 15,000 people more or less with a five loaves of bread and two fishes. And here he comes walking on the water. And they were so amazed because their heart was hardened. Their heart was rendered stupid. They didn't remember the loaves of bread. They didn't remember the 5,000. They remembered the 15,000 rather. They did not remember that Jesus had just got through feeding a multitude of people with five loaves of bread and two fishes. Something rendered them stupid. Something come against their mind, blotted out their mind, and blinded them to the miracles that Jesus just got through doing. Are you listening to me? They were rendered stupid. It also means blind. It means to become stubborn. It means to close the heart. Close the heart. That's what that word, hardened, means in the original Greek. Now when you look at that and you think, you know, there's a scripture, I wrote it down here, or printed it out here, the scripture in Hebrews says, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. It's the same word. Hardened to the deceitfulness. We become stupid to the fact of what sin will do to us. Something renders us stupid. It renders us ignorant. It blinds us to the penalty of what sin brings. So there's only one entity that does this, and it is not God. It is the powers of hell. It is the power of the wicked one. It is the power of Satan that's the one who is guilty of rendering us stupid. Thinking that we can walk through this life and live like a sinner and make it into the kingdom of God. It's a lie out of the pit of hell, and it will deceive you. It has rendered you stupid. Think about it. And think about how that they've seen this miracle. Let me put it this way. The first tent meeting that I ever had with my own tent was in 1974. It was a 50-foot by 100-foot tent. Just starting out. I didn't even need that big a tent to nothing. But in that tent meeting, It was in Wynn, Arkansas, 1974, if I remember correctly. My first tent meeting, my own tent. Put the tent up in Wynn, Arkansas. Got up there, got the tent up, had a little bit of money when I got there, spent it all just about the first breakfast we had. Everybody wanted breakfast. I had maybe $40, $50 back then. The $40, $50 was pretty good because motel was $6 a night. Tell you the truth, the only way I could got out of that town, I had to, me and old brother Bill, we had to remodel the, I forget how many rooms at a motel to pay the motel bill to get out of there, but we did it. But I remember the first night of that tent meeting. There were maybe a dozen people in that tent meeting. And I'm telling you, we were desperate. I was desperate because I was the leader and everybody's looking at me for food. I remember Sister Carol was with us. Sister Carol told me, we're putting up the tent. Sister Carol said, I can't believe we ain't got enough money to buy a can of Coke even. I said, well, we don't. I mean, I had rebellion on my hands. You know what I'm saying? I mean, man, they were rising up against me, you know, over a can of Coke. I said, we're going to have to do with some water. There was some water and we had some bread and all. And you know, well, I can't understand. Well, I can't. You know what? I said, listen, God's going to provide for us. He's going to take care of us. I've always believed that. Before that day was out, there was a car pulled up, and a guy, I walked over to the car, and the guy says, you having a meeting here? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, me and my mother, I think it was his mother, we're on our way to Florida. I just feel like stopping by here, and he gave me $20. Boy, I took that $20, and boy, I just waved it right under Sister Carol's nose. See, you want a can Coke, do you? Because God's faithful. I'm telling you, God's faithful. But that $20 didn't last no time. It was gone. And here we're in a desperate situation again. The first night of the meeting, I'm just going to be honest with y'all. The main thing in my mind was go out there and get this over with and take up an offering. I ain't going to lie to you one bit. That was in my mind. Here, I'm just starting out preaching. I've got rebellion. I've got mutiny all around me. People are hungry. You know, and here I got to have an offering. I got to have some money. I got to have something. The first night, I walked out there, and I don't even remember what I preached. I think I read Joel or something, you know. I don't even, I mean, I'm just going to get it over with. Now I talked here for a little while, and I said, does anybody want prayer? And I really did not want them to come up for prayer. I didn't. I'm just being honest with you. I said, does anybody need prayer? Oh, sure as the world, about four or five of them stood up. I said, oh, God. Here they come up, and they stand in front of the podium there, you know, in the platform. And I'm thinking, man, so I'm going to, now I'm going to get this over with. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just going to get this over with where I can receive an offering. We have got to have some money. So I go up and pray for one person, you know, and pray for that person. I move to the next man. It was a lady. It was a woman. And I'm going to guess her age probably in her 50s, maybe 60s, but I'm saying 50s. I'll give her some slack. But when I prayed for her, here I don't feel nothing. It is dead. It's 4 o'clock. There ain't nothing. There ain't no anointing. There ain't no goosebumps. There ain't nothing. It's dead. Dead. How many's ever been word dead, dead, dead? You know what dead is. It was dead. I prayed for that woman, and I went to the next woman. She goes, oh, hallelujah. I'm healed. I said, what? She said, I'm healed. I said, are you kidding? I did. I said, are you kidding? She said, no, I'm not kidding. I said, well, what was wrong with you? Now, I'm not feeling nothing. And I'm thinking, this woman must be a nut. And I'm thinking, you know, I said, well, what was wrong with you? She said, I had cataracts. She said, I couldn't hardly see. And she turned around and identified. I had little figurines in my church. Identified those figurines, reached out and I started telling people what were the color of their shirts was and what kind of it had flowers on and all that. She said, I'm telling you, brother, I'm healed. God just give me a miracle. I'm telling you, I was astounded. Yeah. I was astounded. I thought, my God, what is going on here? I didn't feel nothing. It's like, you know, people get to their minds that think it's you that's doing it, you know. No, it's not you. It's God. And how many knows God is a sovereign God?
Yes, he is. Hallelujah.
And that woman reached out by faith. It sure wasn't me because I'm just going to get it over with. But that woman touched God. But I'm going to tell you what God showed me in that. God did show me that he was sovereign. Let me tell you something. You don't have to feel nothing. You don't have to feel no goosebumps. I'm telling you, when God gets ready to do something, I don't believe they felt no goosebumps, praise God, when he fed that multitude. I don't believe they might have felt some goosebumps when they seen out there and they looked like it was a ghost walking on the water. But I'm telling you what, amen, you don't got to feel nothing for God to move. God give that woman a miracle. But you know, the sad part about it was, I was not in a place that I needed to be. I was just like Peter and the other disciples that was in that ship. I was just like they were. Yes, I had preached that Jesus is a miracle worker. Amen. When I first started out for the Lord, amen, as a young Christian, I laid hands on people. I seen them recover. I seen, amen, sicknesses depart from them. I seen fevers, amen, amen, go just like that. I seen miracle after miracle. God had given me financial miracles. But yet, here I was in that tent meeting, and I had been rendered stupid. I had been rendered stupid. I didn't believe God would do it. And then when God did something, I could not hardly believe it. I couldn't believe God did something like this. What was wrong with me? I was just like they were. I was rendered stupid. Do you realize that each one of us have experienced that? Listen, this is the way we need to be. We need to be every day expecting God to do something miraculous for us. We need to wake up every day, amen, of our lives, amen, with great expectation that the God of heaven is going to manifest his glory in our life, in our homes, in our church, hallelujah, in our ministry, that God's going to do something. We need to wake up with expectancy of the supernatural power of God that is going to revolt among us. Instead of being amazed at what God does, amen, we should expect that God is going to move by his power. Praise God. And when we're in financial battles, praise the Lord. Amen. Sister Glenda, we should not be, amen, rendered stupid. Amen. That's the powers of hell. That's nothing but the devil. I'm not going down. Praise God. We're going up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on. Amen. Amen. We're not going to be defeated. I've read the back of the book. Amen. There's power to the overcomer, and the overcomers are going to inherit all things. See, but we let the wicked one render us stupid. And when you're rendered stupid, you forgot what God did for you before. You forgot what God did in this word of God. You forgot how he healed the sick and raised the dead. You forgot how he fed the multitudes. That's why we're not to fear what's coming upon this earth. We're not to fear what the Antichrist is going to do or what the one world government's going to do. I've always preached, let it come on. I'm serving a God, amen, that can keep us in the midst of a storm. He can keep us in a furnace of fire. He can feed us with manna from heaven. He, amen, is the one that is the great provider, and he has never, ever changed. Neither will he ever change. He's my provider. He's your provider. Praise God. But Satan has rendered us stupid because we forget what God did. Listen, they should not have been amazed when Jesus was walking on that water. They had seen his miracle working power. They should have shouted, praise God, Hosanna to the King, instead of being amazed. But the Bible is clear. Their heart was hardened because they did not consider what Jesus had done for the 5,000. What's it say out to me and you? If we will consider what God has already done, we know what God's going to do. Because I'm going to tell you what. He has not changed one iota. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you even to the end of the world. Let me tell you, I don't care what's coming upon this earth. The financial markets of the entire world could collapse overnight. But I'm telling you, I'm serving a God, amen, that's going to sustain and keep a people. Praise God. Because he's never changed and he never will. He's God, praise God. And we need to wake up and realize that he is the one and the only one we can put our trust in. My God, let's start thinking about what God did for us in the past. Amen. Let's erase this stupid spirit, amen, that the enemy has placed upon us. This blindness that the enemy has placed upon us. Let's begin, amen, to put, amen, on the mind of Christ. Amen. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Think about it. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're sons of God. We're ordained. We're elected. We're chosen in Christ. Praise God. We're predestinated. We're the children of the King. We should expect God to move for us. We don't. God does not like beggars. I'm convinced of that. God does not want us begging. Amen. I know I've disrupted a lot of people's spirit by saying that. God doesn't want you coming up here to the altar and begging God for nothing. He wants you to come to the altar, amen, believing that you're going to receive what you're asking for. He wants you to grab hold of those horns of the altar by faith, knowing that whatever you're asking and petition Him for, that He's going to move for you.
Amen.
Faith is the only thing that pleases God. And the fact of the matter is, we have all been rendered, somebody say it for me, stupid. Amen. It's the truth. It's the truth. We forget that God can do anything. All things are possible to him that believeth. Amen. Believes what? Believes that God can do anything. Amen. Anything. He's a miracle working God. He's not changed. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. And then that scripture that came to me over there in Hebrews, where that lest any of you be hardened, that you're through the deceitful, that your heart be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Same word. And how many times, we can see it in that. We can see that clearly. Yes, that Satan has blinded our eyes sometimes. And we think we can sneak around, we can get by with something. You know we ain't going to get by with nothing. God sees everything that we do. Your life is an open book to him. Why, God, don't they? Ain't no sense around here hiding it. My God, just let everybody know.
Yeah, come on.
If you're going to live for God, live for God. If you're going to live for the devil, live for the devil. You can't put one foot in the wall and one foot in the kingdom of God and think you're going to make it. You can't do it. And Satan is the one that renders us stupid and thinking that we can. Y'all looking funny now. Everything was going good when it was on the happy note. But listen. He said, don't you remember? He said, is your heart yet hardened? Have you eyes and you don't see? Have you got ears and you don't hear? Don't you remember? What about them 12 basket loaves that was left over? What about them 7 basket loaves? Don't you remember? What's wrong with you? How come you don't understand? Oh, Lord. See, Jesus Christ is what? The same. Yesterday, today, and forever. We talk about it. We preach it. We can put it up here on the screen. We can put it on the out here on the billboard. We can put up cards with it on there. And let me tell you something. Ain't doing nobody a bit of good until somebody believes that he is the very same. Yesterday, today, and forever. He's never changed, and his will remains the same. He wants you blessed, believe it or not. He wants you prospered. Amen. He wants you full of good health. Hallelujah. He don't want you sick. He don't want you discouraged. He don't want you bombed out. He don't want you, amen, amen, to go through to life, amen, tormented by God, by all these spirits. He wants you to be happy for God's sake.
Amen.
That's God's will for you. That's God's will for your children. You being evil, give goodness to your children. How much more will the Heavenly Father give good things to them? Come on. Look at what God wants for you. You want the best for your children. God wants it even better for you. But see, because Satan renders us stupid, we forget that we're blessed.
You want this for a while?
I am blessed. I am blessed every day that I live. I am blessed when I wake up in the morning till I lay my head to rest. I am blessed. I am blessed. Praise God. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the country. I'm blessed wherever my foot goes. Why? Because God said I am blessed. I'm not going to let the devil render me stupid anymore. I'm going to wake up to the realization that his will for my life and your life is for you to be blessed. That's just the way it is. And he would have passed them by. He would have walked right by them. Why? Because he said, hey, boys, here's what you're going to do. You go out there and you get that boat and you go to the other side. He said, I'm going to get rid of these folks right here. I'm going to send them home. I'm going up in the mountain to pray and I'll meet you over there. Is that what he said? Amen. How many know you can take Jesus at his word? We take an airplane pilot as his word and that this thing is actually going to fly. It's built out of metal. We can take a boat captain's word that a boat's going to float that's made out of iron.
Yeah.
Is that right? Well, I think we could take Jesus' word that he's going to take us to the other side. Praise God, he's already said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to be with you even to the end of the world. You've all read the back of the book. Hallelujah. You read in the back of the book, amen, what's going to happen to the devil and the false prophets and the people who will not accept the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. You've already read, hallelujah, that we're going to live and rule and reign with Christ. Not just 1,000 years, but 10,000 times 10,000 years. I'm going to rule and reign with Christ because not of my own holiness or not any goodness in me, but because of the blood of Jesus, it has cleansed me from all of my sins, and I'm before the throne of God without a fault, not of my own righteousness, but clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm an overcomer tonight, not by my own power, but because of the power of Christ that lives in me by the Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Don't let the devil continue to keep you rendered stupid. We're children of the King, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Praise God, the world might not think I'm somebody, but when Jesus looks at me, you know what he says? The Bible says this, we are King. The Bible talks about being King. He's the King of Kings. And he's the Lord of Lords. Come on. I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I want you to know that's authority. Amen. That's authority that comes from God. God has given his people authority, but we have allowed the devil to render us stupid, and that is why nothing works for us, because we've let the devil convince us that whatever we say is not going to come to pass, that whatever we do is not going to work out. And all the while we're forgetting because we've let the enemy blind us. It's what God not only did in the Word of God, but God has done for many of us right here in this place. Another place that this was recorded was over in Matthew. And this one in Matthew's recorded, you don't have to turn there, but one in Matthew's recorded when Peter, Brother John quoted this, when Peter looked out, he seen him, and he said, is that you? Is that who? Is that you? Is that really you out there? And Peter said, Lord, if that is you, let me come out there on the water. And Jesus said, come. He said, come. Right? And the Bible says Peter began walking on the water toward Jesus. Is that right? We've all read it. We've all read it. Here's a man that is unsaved. A man that does not have the Spirit of God. He was not converted. Peter, although being called, was not yet converted. Here's a man that was unconverted, did not have the Spirit of God, although he was called, had enough faith to obey Jesus. Step out of that boat and begin walking. Now remember, and Brother John brought this out a while ago, the winds were strong. The sea was boisterous. They had been roaring for hours and hours and hours and hours and couldn't get out there. It couldn't make it to the other side. It was so horrible. Now I've been on the sea. I've been in the ocean. I've been in large ships. One time going through the English Channel, like when I was in the service, going through the English Channel. And that ship, I'm telling you, this is a ship. Now, this ain't no little boat. This is a ship much, much, 5 times, 10 times bigger than this building. And you're out there in the midst of the sea, and you're going to go up through the English Channel, a storm comes up. And I'm telling you, that ship was just like this. Now, I'm talking about, I opened the door, which you didn't supposed to. Me and another fellow, we went up, I wanted to see outside. They locked us all down, say, you stay down here. Well, like dummy me, you know, I'm not going to stay down. I know I tell me what to do. I'm going to see what's going on. Me and this other fellow, we went up there, and he got the big wheel. He opened up that door, and I cracked it open a little bit. By the time I cracked that thing open, that ship went up like that, and all I could see, it looked like 1,000 feet straight down, nothing but the ocean. Man, I held on. We went back uphill. All I could see was the sky. We got that thing, amen, shut. Me and him both. Well, we got in our bunks, and I held on for dear life. I know what it is to be in a ocean, in a sea, with the winds and the seas boisterous. It's a scary thing. I mean, I'm telling you, it's a scary. And there's no wonder in me that why the Bible says that Peter was afraid. He saw the wind boulders. He was afraid. And beginning to sink. He didn't say he sunk. Come on. He didn't say he sunk. He began to sink. He didn't sink. He was beginning to sink. He was pretty close to Jesus by that time, because when he began to sink, he said, "Oh Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said, "O thou of little faith." Oh Lord, help me. "Oh thou of little faith." And then the next verse says, "And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased." I don't know how far Peter was, and I don't know how far Jesus was from him, but I believe it was a ways. I don't know, and here again I can't prove this, but I do believe that Jesus and Peter walked back to that boat. I do. He was beginning to sink. He grabbed him up. He said, "Come on, Peter." And I believe him and Peter walked back to that boat. Hallelujah. Don't you know that in the midst of a storm and trials and nobody, what's going on in your life, he's not going to just pick you up. He's going to walk with you. He's going to walk right by your side. Even when you're afraid and when you doubt, "Oh, ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" How many know some of us is in that situation right now? We're in the storm of our lives. Come on. We're in a storm of our lives. Trouble is everywhere. Come on. Somebody here today is in this situation. But I want you to know, praise God, you've taken some steps toward Jesus. I mean, you know, I've taken some steps before Jesus. Come on. I've took some steps before the Lord. And I might be afraid because things are going upside down for me. Things are trouble everywhere I'm at. But I want you to know, the same Jesus that was walking on the water, that same Jesus, amen, that lifted immediately and took Peter up. I'm telling you, that same Jesus that I believe walked with Peter back to that ship, he's alive today. Praise God, he's on the throne, having all power in heaven and earth. He's with us in this hour. He's with you, praise God. He's a personal Savior. He's right there in your storm, and he's there to deliver you and to keep you and to take you back to safety. That ship was safety. And as soon as they got back to the ship, what happened? The wind quit. The storm was over. Oh, God, help me. I can't convey this the way I want to. Don't you realize our hearts have been hardened? We become doubtful. We've been blinded. We've been rendered stupid. That Jesus is not the same that he's always been. But he is. And in that storm, he's still there. And he's not only there, amen, to make you feel good. He's not only there with blessed assurance. He's there to deliver us back to our place of safety. And I'm going to tell you, the winds is going to quit. No storm lasts forever. No trial lasts forever. I'm telling you, God is not like some men, amen, that will beat their children because they get pleasure out of it. They'll whip their kids, amen, because they want to show some authority or something. Amen. But God's not like a man. I'm telling you, yes, amen, he might give you a whipping, but it just lasts for a little while. Why? Because God loves you. He might spank you a little bit. Praise God. But I'm telling you, that same God that give you a whipping, praise God, he's right there. Amen. With healing balm. Amen. Healing balm of the soul. Healing balm of the spirit. Healing balm of the flesh. He's there to heal. Because his chastisement only lasts for a little season. And after that chastisement is over, his love is there. His grace is there. His goodness is there. Do you see this? The winds are fixing to cease. If we will not allow Satan to render us stupid. Do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? And you know, in John, let me read that one. I'll quit with this, but this is, I love this. In John, we're talking about the same thing. Each one's a little bit different. You got different men reporting different things. They all come up with, all remember something a little different than the other ones. And John, when they received him into the ship, John said, immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Hallelujah. I'm on this old ship of Zion. Hallelujah. I'm on this old ship trying to get through life's journey. Can you say amen? But I'm telling you, when Jesus is on your side, praise God, not only will he give you peace in the midst of a storm, but I'm telling you, the Bible says immediately the ship, that was a ship of safety. Immediately it was on the land whither they went. Don't you see, amen, that God loves you today? Don't you see he cares about you today? He, oh, amen, he hears your prayers. He hears what you're concerned about in your life, and he wants to save and heal and deliver and set free and bless, amen, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, in every way. He wants you blessed. But we got to wake up. We got to put on Jesus. We got to let that mind be in us. Your mind is the warfare. Everybody knows that. But he says, when you're thinking, I used to tell people, it's dangerous to think. Because the Bible says, when you think on these things. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever. Come on. Say, what is he saying? Think positive. Think good thoughts. How many have been driving down the road and this thought comes to you? And it's not a good thought at all. It might be against a person. It might be just some stupid something. Don't ponder the thought. Immediately start thinking something good. Mama used to say this. I've said it before. I'll say it again today, and I'm going to close. Mama used to say, if you can't say something good about somebody, don't say nothing. Let me know what I'm talking about. If you can't say nothing good about them, just keep your mouth shut. Don't say nothing. Now, that's not, I don't think that's in the Bible, except maybe slow to speak, quick to hear. But I trust Mama's judgment in that. Many a times. Well, the Bible says don't speak evil of no man. Doesn't it? Speak evil of no man. Let's start looking at things in a different way. Beginning this morning. As individuals, let's look at things a little bit different way. Let's realize we've been rendered stupid from time to time. I have. And let's find out. How did it happen? Where did it happen? When did it happen? And I guarantee you, you'll see the hand of Satan every time in it. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, I'm awake, are you?
I'm awake.
All right, praise God. Do you need prayer? Does anyone need prayer before we close? Praise the Lord. Anyone need prayer? So you're saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost on the way to heaven. You're not rendered stupid no more. Okay. Praise God. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Praise God. I appreciate that song. That was beautiful. That would be wonderful. Maybe come and get with Glenda and John sometime, and y'all do a little practice and all. And we're hoping to get. All right. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We're just trying to do something for God. But I'm going to tell you, I probably didn't do it justice, but I did feel the Holy Ghost when I was ministering this word. But I'm telling you, it really struck me that him passing us by, I had never seen that. He was going to walk right by them. That, and that, how that they had been rendered stupid. They had been blinded. They had forgot. Hey, it just had happened. It had just happened that day. Just happened. And they got in the ship. And just a few hours later, they forgot all about it.
Oh my.
How powerful, Satan is. Amen. All right, Sister Glenda, you want to come and dismiss us? You're going to be well, little girl. I tell you what, she's been through so much. She's going to be well in Jesus' name. But we're not rendered stupid, are we? Not no more. We're awake, ain't we?
Praise the Lord. I thank the Lord for the service today, and I praise God. You know, the Lord would just, I just feel like the Lord's been speaking to me through this whole, from the very beginning when Brother Myers got up, some things Brother John said. I'll tell you, I'm going to do just what he said. I'm going to say, excuse me, devil. I've done that a lot of times. I've been in my house, and I've actually just started dancing and praising God. Nobody around me, no music, no nothing. Just praising God and thanking God. Praise God. That's what he wants us to do. And that message, you know, that reminded me a few years ago of a dream I had. Brother Hayes and I, we were in a natural storm. But in this dream, we were in a spirit, we were in a storm. We was in a bad storm, naturally, spiritually, financially. I mean, it was a bad situation for us. But I had a dream, and in this dream, we were in a storm, just a natural storm. And it got so bad that he and I were actually airborne. And I reached over, and I grabbed him by the hand, and I said, it's almost over. And then, just like that, we came to the ground. The storm just passed. And I remember going to the church the next Sunday morning, and I was telling the people, you know, I was up telling the people about the dream I had. And I remember after that service, Deanna came up to me, and she said, is that for the whole church? Or is it just for you and Brother Hayes? Because, I mean, the church was in a storm. I said, I don't know, but I'm telling you, it's about over. And I'm telling you, praise God, it was no time. Immediately, God moved for us. But, I mean, he's just an on-time God. He really is. And you know, like that song that we sing sometimes, he may not come when you want him, but he's going to be right on time. He's an on-time God, and he will. Yes, he will. He'll do it again. Praise God. I tell you, I don't know how you feel, but I feel like just shouting today. Praise God. I said, I feel like that I could just shout today because I know that God is doing it again. Amen? Praise God. And you know, the Lord, he probably wasn't even concerned about them. That opened my eyes too. Because he done told them, well, you're going to the other side. I mean, consider it done. And you know, today, church, we need to be praising God and thanking God and say, God, I thank you, Lord. I know I'm going to make it because you done told me. You done showed me. I'm going to make it. Praise God. Let's just get on and get it on and get through it. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you know, I've told Brother Hayes so many times, there's an end to every storm. Praise God. I'm telling you, when you're in that storm, it seems like 1 minute could seem like a whole lifetime in a bad storm. But praise God, when that minute's up and that storm's over, hallelujah, you just feel so good. And you know, today I thank God for his word, don't you? Praise God. And that's what we need to do. We need to call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God and get God's attention. How many wants God's attention today in your storm? Praise God. I just love the Lord today, don't you? Praise God. Anybody else want to testify?